that wisdom and soundness of mind. The integrity and moral courage of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. Riches will not provide security in the day of wrath and judgment, but righteousness rescued from death. The righteousness of the blameless will smooth their way and keep it straight, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will rescue them, but the treacherous will be caught by their own greed. When the wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of godless strong men perishes. The righteous is rescued from trouble, and the wicked takes his place.
Now, righteousness is rescued from trouble, and the wicked takes its place. You know, and here in verse 1, it talks about a false balance in the abomination of the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And that's in verse 1. And key observations, being honest in business. Honest in business. Having some integrity is so important. Pastor Ray talks about integrity all the time. You know, and it's important for us to have integrity where people can trust what you say and what you do. They know that if you say you're going to do something, you're going to do it. You know, they can hold you to it. They ain't got to worry about it. There's no doubt or question about it. And it says, dishonest practices are detestable to God. Integrity in dealing with others bring his favor. You want to read number 2?
Right here. Number 2 says, the reward of humility. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. Pride leads to downfall, while humility attracts wisdom.
And, you know, we were just talking about how you were saying your daughter was upset, you know, and it could have been easy for her to continue to stay in that space based off of what was happening around her. And but the wisdom that you placed in her allowed her to even recognize. She was able to recognize the negativity that was all around her. And I pray that her day didn't reflect that. You know, I pray that she had a good day. And seeing her coming in the end of the day, I can tell it really didn't affect her. You know, and that's important. And that's why that wisdom is so important that we need to have in dealing with situations. Number 3 says, righteousness delivers, wickedness destroys. And then it says, for verse 1, verse 3, it says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. I'm going to say that again. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. And too often we get caught up in looking at what we say in the world, people who are doing the wrong thing, and it always seems like they prosper. You think about back in the days when I was growing up, seeing people hustling and all that stuff, I thought they was prospering, you know, but not really looking at the consequences of those actions. And too often we just look at things on the surface and don't look at it as the full aspect of it. That's the right one. This is me thinking. Yeah.
Before you keep going, Pastor, I'm sorry to cut you off, but that specific, we just talked about, remind me of obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes.
And that's what I got out of that.
Yes, that's so important. And that's what it talks about, that integrity guides us. It guides us, you know, and that's why I often tell the kids, be honest. If you did something, if you made a mistake, be honest about the mistake you made. It's okay. Deal with the consequences right now. Don't try to hide it and one lie lead to another lie on top of another lie, you know, and then when it get caught, then the whole thing it becomes bigger than what it could have been, you know, or what it should have been if you had just been honest in the beginning. You know?
Even if you get it overnight, you don't get no wisdom in it, you don't learn nothing in it, you can lose it faster than you get it. And consistency is key, and you think you're not progressing, but just being consistent with you just
honestly explaining. No. You are 100% correct. Because too often we look for something, we want that. We live in a society where it's a microwave society. You know, I'm watching the news today, and, you know, we in this terrible thing where stock market is going up and down, and right now, all day today, it was going down based on what happened 3 days ago when Trump imposed the tariffs, right? But today, he said, I'm putting a freeze on tariffs. It's a buy market right now. So everybody, the market went the highest it ever has been since 1998. One day broke just off of his word. And see, because people want that instant gratification. It's that instant gratification. So they jumped on it and nothing had changed. Only thing changed was what he said. The situation is still the same, but because he said, I'm stopping the tariffs right now, everybody jumped to it. Instant gratification.
And also what I know it comes down to is what you want out of life and what's important to you out of life. But to me, I feel like if I had everything that I want overnight, it would be beneficial to me, but what benefit would it have? What's important to me is what's important to me is leaving it down to my kids, my nieces, my nephews, the younger generation. I want to leave them knowledge, wisdom. Me having materialistic things overnight is not going to help them with my time.
Yeah.
So I think it's more important to is the knowledge, the experience, and the process of getting them things so you can leave something behind.
And then the sacrifices that you got to make to keep those things. People don't think about that. We have a question.
You want things at a fast pace because you're anxious. And the anxiousness comes because of the fear that you have. So from a therapeutic process, from a therapeutic standpoint, to lose that anxiety helps you focus better and everything. Because when you want it like this, you won't lose it like that.
Oh, yes. Definitely. So you want to be number 4? Yeah.
I said, money can't save. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivered from death.
And that's verse 4.
Yeah. Wealth may offer temporary security, but only righteousness delivers from eternal judgment.
That is so powerful. Because see, we live in a world, and I was sharing with somebody, everything we have, matter of fact, I was sharing with our students the other day on Monday that everything we have is temporal. Everything, even this flesh that we have, is temporal. We don't know the day or the hour when y'all are going to fall. So we need to value this, not money, because money can't save. So our righteousness, how we carry ourselves and what we do with the time that we have, is preserves us. It creates that opportunity for us to have the eternal life. You know, and too often people chase after this money. You know, just like I was talking about how that stock market, people were miserable for these last couple of days thinking about this market. Just wondering what's going to happen to me, my portfolio, my life, all these other things. And here, we telling you, family, focus your eyes on God. Focus it on Him, and He will provide for your every need. This is what He's talking about here today. It's not about the money. The money can't save you. When death come knocking, the dollars can't do nothing to save.
And that's been something half-hearted is for like rich people, millionaires, that want genuine love, genuine people who just want to love them and care about them. Most people are trying to give what they got, and if they can't give it, they want it other way.
Yes, yes, yes. Number five says, and this comes from verse five, the righteousness are delivered from trouble. Verse 5 says, the righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight. God rescues the righteous from danger, but the wicked are trapped by their own actions. The wicked are trapped by their own actions. And actually, now I know, that was me. I got caught up in my own stuff and my own trouble because of the decisions I made. It wasn't nobody else. It was me. I created my scenario. No one created the scenario for me. You want to read those four lessons from this here passage of scripture?
Lesson 1 says, integrity is a guiding light. Dishonesty is a principle to guide the person born. Number 2, humility attracts wisdom from pride leads to disgrace. Number 3 says, righteousness offers lasting security even when wealth fails. 4 says, God's protection rests on those who live uprightly. Wicked schemes backfire.
Oh. So as we look at those, and that's just 8 passages of scriptures that we just read, where God has given us lessons from Solomon, talking about integrity is a guiding light. It's a guiding light. And then it gives you the contrast, how dishonesty is offensive to God and brings ruin. We know. Everybody ain't been saved all their life. We know being dishonest, what happens with dishonesty. Thinking we get away with something, in reality, it wound up coming back to bite us. And we wound up losing more than what we thought we gained. You know? And then it talks about humility attracts wisdom. Humility attracts wisdom. Man, I thank God that I'm around so many other leaders. And we had a meeting today, and we were talking about, and we were sharing on some things that need to be done. And you have to humble yourself. You have to be humble to hear when people tell you something that's going to benefit you. You know, and you have to recognize it that it's going to benefit you. You know, and even if you're giving out something, you have to be humble. Don't be have arrogance and try to will those things over someone. You know, and people do that also. You know, no sense of humility with that. And it's all why it says, here we go. While pride leads to disgrace. Pride is a sin. Pride is a sin. So let's go, let's keep going, because last week we ain't even close out 10. So I'm going to read 9 through 14, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified. And it says, with his mouth the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge and discernment the righteous will be rescued. When it is well for the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. By the blessings of the influence of the upright, the city is exalted. But by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. He who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding keeps silent. He who goes about as a gossip reveals secret, but he who is trustworthy and faithful keeps a matter hidden. Where there is no wise, intelligent guidance, the people fall and go off course like a ship without a helm. But in the abundance of wise and godly counselors, there is victory. You know, it's funny because I was just talking about how I was sitting amongst other leaders and getting some information, wise counsel. You know, and it's important for you to have people around you who can speak into your life. You know, because we only know in part. We only know in part, so we gotta be willing to hear. Because criticism, and see, we love to get kudos when things are good, but we hate criticism. We don't want to be criticized. We want to have all the good news, but we don't want to hear the bad news. You know, and I think we can do our kids a disservice by not being honest to them. Because when someone else, see, if we always give them compliments and never tell them when they're doing something wrong, when someone on the outside does it, they don't know how to receive it. You know, and that's why it's so important for us to be truthful with our kids and give them full truth with no mask. Because, see, we can cover them, but the world ain't gonna cover them. And we gotta help them be able to function in the world.
Yeah, I grew up playing football, and I'm quickly than I put it because, like, I would say the kids that come from the hood was always a lot tougher because of their parents didn't hold too much back. Sometimes they might have overdid it. But a lot of parents from, like, you know, that was more on their kids, more strict, and kind of tell them what it is. It shows through sports and through their character as kids because they was a lot tougher. They could take criticism. The coach could tell them this. They can get hit hard, get hot right back up because they're used to it at home. Other than the parents that baby up the kids all the time and be soft on them, when life hit them, they don't know how to take it.
Yeah, and that's true, you know, and like you said, you ain't co-signing some of the negative behavior, you know, but we grew up in some tough situations, so we knew how to deal with that uncertainty when things don't go right, you know, so, and for other kids who don't, you know, they don't know how to accept that criticism, they don't know how to deal with the loss. They take it to the grain, you know. They feel they can't come back from that, unfortunately, but that's far from the truth. Here it says, key observations, power of words, power of words. And it says, the godless use words to destroy, but the righteous speak wisely and bring deliverance. That's so powerful. You know, and I was listening to scripture today, and I was reading John 1, and it was talking about, and it just gave full description of Christ, and where it says, he is the Word, you know, and the Word became flesh, and in the beginning, everything was created through words. And that's why words have so much power. And we don't even realize the power that we have with the words we speak. Sometimes we keep ourselves bound by the words that we say out of our own mouth. We give our situation authority that it don't have, that it shouldn't have, because we say, I'm not good enough, or too tough, or, you know, we make all type of excuses. And we speak it, not only do we act, we speak it out loud, and we make it a reality, and we got to be careful of that, and that's why I said, words can destroy, but for the wise, it can bring deliverance. Then number two, it says, community rejoices in justice. And that comes out of verse 10. It says, when it goes well with righteous, the city rejoices. Righteous leadership blesses the community while wicked rulers bring grief.
And we can look at our communities. We can look at our communities, and this is how we can make a difference. We can make a difference by standing for righteousness, being examples for those around us, and not conforming to what the situation is around us. And that's how we're going to make a change. We can't change everybody, but we can change them. We can change ourselves and the ones that we're connected to by our action, by our integrity, by our uprightness, you know, and not conforming to what everybody else is doing. You know, when we grew up, our Pastor Bruce, we can relate because there were certain things we didn't do when there was elders in the neighborhood. We knew there was a level of respect that we had regardless of what we might have been doing. When we seen elders around, our whole demeanor changed. We knew how to carry, yes ma'am, yes sir. We didn't do anything. And nowadays, there's no respect. It's a lack of respect. And we have to demand that out of the community, out of our kids and our communities. But it starts at home. It starts at home. We have to demand. I had a situation where I heard someone speaking to someone out of turn. And I had to stop the conversation I was having to deal with that situation. Because I knew that was a dangerous situation, because that lack of respect is dangerous. Definitely when it comes to an adult or peer. That's a dangerous place. And I had to deal with that. And that's what we can't be afraid to come in front of situations that we know are not right. Definitely with people who we say we love and care for. Because we're doing them a disservice by being silent. Here it says, number three, wisdom and counsel. Where there is no guidance, oh my God, didn't we just talk about that? Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. We are the safety net for our community. It's with us where the safety net can happen. We can protect our children from the wickedness of the world. But it's up to us. We can't be afraid. And this is going to be the tough part. This is going to be the tough part for the people of God being able to stand up against the persecution. Against the persecution. Many times, you know, we walk through our neighborhoods and see somebody doing something wrong and don't say nothing. And they're younger than us. They're younger than us. And I have some kids in my neighborhood. We have a basketball court in front of my house where my son used to play. And when kids come around and start acting up, me and my wife, we be out there like, look, y'all don't need to be doing that. Y'all better. If you're going to be acting like that, you take me down the block. You go to your house and do that. You're not going to behave like that over here. We brought this out here so you guys can have fun, enjoy yourself. Don't tear it up. Don't be disrespectful. Don't be leaving your water bottles around after you're ready to go. So we got to clean up. Be responsible. Be respectful. And what they did, they was responsible and respectful. But if you don't say nothing, you ain't going to get nothing. And too often, we are being silent. We are being silent. And God has given us the power of authority to speak. And believe you me, before you speak, he already went before you. He already went before you. And that's why we got to be walking in the full armor of God. We got to be walking in the full armor of God. Yeah, Jermaine, I just feel like you want to say something. Would you? You reflected. All right. Read number four. Well, the wise counsel.
Wise counsel leads to stability. Community and leadership flourish when wisdom is shared.
Community and leadership flourish when wisdom is shared. Shared. We can't keep it for ourselves. This stuff that God has given us is for us to share. We can't keep it for ourselves. We got to be an example for the next generations that's coming up behind us. For those that are connected to us. They may never come here in Faith Harvest. They may never come to Harvest Christian Academy. But they connected to you and you can make a difference in their life. So you got to share your wisdom and your leadership. And that's what we want to see change. You want to read those lessons?
Carry immense power, they can destroy and deliver. Number two says, righteousness blesses the community. Everyone benefits when the righteous thrive. Three says, seeking wise counsel prevents downfall. Collaborative decision making brings safety.
So if you want to read verses 15 to 26, we will talk about generosity and selfishness. So these are combatant things, because we're talking about wickedness versus righteousness, or righteousness versus wickedness in our daily lives. These are things that we deal with daily. That's why Paul said, I have to die to myself daily. We deal with these situations each and every day. Yeah. Yes.
He who puts up security and guarantees a death for an outsider will surely suffer for his foolishness. But he who hates declines, being a guarantor, is secure from his penalties. A gracious and good woman attains honor. And ruthless men attain riches, but not respect. The merciful and generous man benefits his soul, for his behavior returns to blessing. And a cruel and callous man does himself harm. The wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness and lives his life with integrity will have a true reward that is both permanent and satisfying. He who is steadfast in righteousness attains life, but he who pursues evil attains his own death. The perverse in heart are repulsive and shamefully vile to the Lord, but those who are blameless and above reproach in their walk are his delight. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be free. As a ring of gold and a swine snout, so is a beautiful woman who is without discretion. Her lack of character mocks her beauty. The desire of righteous brings only good, but the expectation of the wicked brings wrath. There is the one who generously scatters abroad, and yet increases all the more. And there is the one who withholds what it justly due, but it results only in want and poverty. The generous man is a source of blessing and shall be prosperous and rich. And he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity he has sowed.
So we're talking about generosity versus selfishness. Generosity versus selfishness. And verse 24 says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, only suffers one. And you think about this, with the scripture about the talents, where one he gave different talents to different people, and the one that had the one took his and buried him. Everybody else used theirs and gained more, but the one hid his because he was saying the one who gave it was wicked. You know, and too often we want to hold on to things instead of just sowing. You reap what you sow. The more you give out, the more you give. And we live in a society where it's just all about me, me, me. And we forget about that giving, that sowing. And so you can reap the reward of it. Here it says, generosity leads to blessings. Those who give freely experience God's blessing, while those who hoard selfishly suffer loss. You know, we were just talking about the stock market. You know, what's happening in the stock market, how everybody's panicking and worried about what's happening in their 401k. And all day today, up until 3 o'clock, the stocks was going down and down. I mean, it hit record lows. And on one announcement after 3 o'clock, he said, I'm going to pause the terrorists for 90 days. He said, so go and buy. He said, go and buy. And then the people buy, they bought. But like I said, the stock market went up to record highs for a one-day turnaround. In one day, because of greed. And this tells you how much power we've given. We've given our authority away. Because the world is held on the whim of one man's word. Just imagine that authority. We're held on the whim of his word. If he had not said anything, the stock market would have kept tumbling. But because of his one word, we've given him so much authority. It's on that side. That would be good. I'm sorry. And it says, number two, refreshing others brings refreshment. Refreshing others brings refreshment. Verse 25 says, whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered.
The whole chapter of Proverbs. Community, it talks about neighborhood, it's talking about businesses, it's talking about how we fare with each other when it comes to speaking words with each other. And the whole gist of the Proverbs is that we have a responsibility to speak righteousness into the next generation. That's how the community stays safe. Like Pastor Rob talked about, we're growing up, you know, if I got in trouble, my neighbor respect me, and correct me. They can't do that now because the neighborhood is in chaos.
Yes.
All because of the moral concept, how people have dwindled so fast because of visual chaos. Yes. What they see all the time destroys the moral character and the moral appetite for righteousness. So it's telling us here, Proverbs 11, that we have those who seek righteousness have the responsibility to speak up and not be fearful. It is a challenge to speak up because you will be retaliated against when you speak up, especially with somebody. They use the word counsel in Proverbs, but actually you bring correction to somebody's injustice. that they're you know, displaying. You know, let us use the word counsel. We need to counsel people and other how to understand that what you sow, you'll reap. Like the talent.
Yeah.
The reason why they said the guy was wicked is because he had no foresight to multiply. And when it comes to God's principles, hold what God's giving you, you have foresight to multiply to God's wicked. You know, God give you something, when you sow, if you don't sow it, you hoard it because you're afraid that you won't get no more. But that's what the talent. And God's principle, that's wicked. Because he gave it to you that you will be blessed and whoever you sow it to will be blessed too. When you get a chance, read Ezekiel chapter 34.
Ezekiel chapter 34.
Yeah. Go there for a second. Go there for a second.
It's funny, my heart would just click right to Ezekiel. 34 what?
Verse 1.
Okay. Verse 1. And it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus said the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not be shepherds, feed the flock. Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruined them. And they scattered, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered.
Right. So, James said that the shepherd clothed himself with the best. But he has the best, but he doesn't sow it to those and to the sheep. You know? So it's the same principle as about a prophet. You know, if God gives to us the wisdom and the wherewithal to counsel those who are less fortunate, we hold back. You know, we scatter them. You know, you make them suffer amongst the people because there's no counsel in them. They become wicked because they don't hear the license of God.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It comes from the amount of time you spend saying the same thing over and over again, you know, and you don't see any growth, you don't see any movement, they're not doing anything to change the situation. Every time you turn around, they're back in the same situation that you trying to get them out of by giving the word and they're not receiving it. And it's not that you're dusting your feet off because Jesus didn't say, you leave them for now. If they get it and come back and they're ready to receive it, then you're open to them. But you can't waste your time. You can't give your pearls to the pig because they don't value them.
That's a powerful question because sometimes we hesitate speak to people that we feel won't receive, And then when you do speak to somebody, they're confident to show you that they're not receiving at the time. But the seed that you sow in them at the time that they're rejecting it, sometimes it falls on the ground inside of them. So don't be hesitant not to say something because you feel they won't receive it. If the Lord is leading you to speak to them in love and kindness. You know what I mean? It's, sometimes it's your approach. You know, if you could see, I have this in my counseling session where I teach people how to communicate in argument and disagreement, I ask them not to use the three C's. So criticize, condemn, or complain. But your opinion does matter. And how you deliver your opinion, the receiver will hear it. If they don't feel that you are criticizing them, condemning them, or complaining. Because what the receiver will do is put up a wall of defense, yes. Emotionally. Yes. If you say, well, listen, I'm trying to tell you, the Lord will see that. So all of that is who do you think you're going to they're going to play that back. But if you approach them with love and kindness and not use the three C's, most of the time they'll receive it. Because they're open to receive. But soon they hear that you're attacking them emotionally, they broke the wall.
So we just read about the power of words.
Yes.
Words have power. You know, and you can kill or you can lift somebody up, you know, based off of what we say out loud. You know, and that's what we have to be real mindful of, real careful of.
So I do you know,
it's very important. Yeah.
I have a question about that as well.
Swinging around.
People despise us in the neighborhood,
but yeah. Because we can cover it all. Because they're not going to need them, definitely.
What happens is, sometimes we say stuff because we know it. You know, and it's easy to become critical. And sometimes it's good just to be quiet and allow them to express what they have to say. And sometimes we have to see it from someone else's perspective. We have to understand, you know how you say, we come from a neighborhood where we grew up a little tougher than somebody else, but somebody else comes from another neighborhood and now you become critical of that person because you don't respond the way you respond. You know, and that's what we have to use wisdom in how we communicate in relationships with people because we can break people. We can destroy people in that way. So, to go on and to close out this lesson, it talks about the lesson, generosity. Generosity is a cycle of blessings. Giving brings refreshment to both the giver and the receiver. Number two, it says, selfishness leads to scarcity. Stinginess, the ultimate harm to the one who hoards. Fairness and generosity in business practices earn respect and
honor. We were able to get this.
And I'm going to read verses 27 to 31. And it says here, and I'm going to come out with
the only switch to that.
27 says, he that diligently seeks God procure favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him.
So we got to
update this. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth
his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wife.
Much more the wicked and the sinner. And it gives a little breakdown here. It talks about
so I have like that last screen. It's like 29 to 31.
Says,
I use RSV, RSV fired, and to trick people in. Yeah, because I was like, he'll be here all day scrolling.
If that is apparent already in earthly relationships, think how significantly it will be in eternity. Just think about that. You know, and that's why it's so important on how we talk about this world. It's not about a relationship.
Because when they did it at the school,
and that's so important.
I ended up turning up on the people that was open. And they just left the door open.
Righteousness, living, and wicked living. Verse 27
so soon
says,
as the guy, like, saw me,
we used to hear that word after 12 o'clock, ain't nothing good happening. Yeah, you know, and you think about it, now, what's good happening after 12 o'clock? Evilness is just happening. A whole bunch of negative. If you ain't going to work and doing something that you're supposed to be doing, you don't need to be out there. And that's what he said. Some things we just don't even need to indulge. And that's what he's saying. We got to be careful of. Key observations. Seeking good leads to favor while seeking evil results in calamity, destruction. That's everything going down.
But that's what I'm talking passionately about.
Number two, steadfast righteousness brings security.
But if
it comes from verse 30, it says, the righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land.
Jazz think it, but she don't think it.
I think about the passage of scripture that we just heard over the week.
I saw the flyer.
I said, I don't know about you, but I'm a righteous. All you have to do is turn on the TV, look around your neighborhood. You see, maybe even sometimes you can look at your household and you can see some wickedness. And I don't want that for my life. I don't want that for my family. I don't want that for my friends. And I want to be the example that God has called me to be in the righteousness of the people that he's connected me to. And that's why we're here today talking about Proverbs and talking about those choices, because that's what it is. It's a choice.
Once you know better,
it's a choice that you're willing to do more things.
the right thing. And me and my sister was talking about something the other day. And we were saying, once you know better, you do better. There's some things that you may know better, you can't do better. Because dealing with drugs, dealing with certain things that you can't do on your own. But with God, all things are possible. And that's the thing, you can't do it on your own. But with God, it's possible. And He brings people in our lives to help us. The key is, are we going to receive the help? Are we going to receive it?
Okay, so that was the question.
You're absolutely right.
And then, you know,
Pastor Curry didn't even come. His wife came. What would y'all tell him? Because he's like, Yana was a minister that you stabbed you. Like, although she asked you to preach it, you should have still. I would have still
showed
up
to the wedding.
It's not their mind. They struggle with something that has not been revealed to them that needs to be dealt with. That's why the word counsel. In the presence of wise counsel, they can encourage you to take a look at your attitude, on your behavior, on your negative word. Why do you talk that way? Have you thought about why you think that way?
Start live streaming our praise team is in to make sure they have feeders or not. On that mix, because like on Sundays, if we're cutting into the live stream and they're still out, you just gotta make sure the music is in.
I know, because they asked me at dinner. I'm like, yeah, it's on Facebook, so I was talking to them, I was listening to it, and I'm like, oh, you know, like that.
Yeah, so we just kind of pulled those speakers up on that mix.
But to change the nature and the culture of things, that the God principle is applied. That's why you gotta speak this word over and over again. To change your mind idea. That's why I said renew the mind.
Doing of the mind.
Yeah. Because what we're doing right now, we're dealing with people struggling that want to do right, but don't have the principle or tools to do right. Then they feel that God don't love them. God does. I'll be crying out to God and God don't hear me. He hears you, but He honors His word. He hears you, but He honors His principles.
He can't go against His principles. And that's the part where we have to be receptive to receive what God has given us. Amen? So we're getting ready to close on this chapter. If you have something you want to say, you can give one of the last themes. You can share one of the theme takeaways on Proverbs 3 if you want, or if you have something else you want to share.
I should know one. Integrity and righteousness. Honesty and humility are essential to living righteousness. God detests deceit and pride, but He delights in truth and righteousness.
So powerful. And family, as we say all the time, the word of God is free. It doesn't cost a thing. However, ministry does cost. And if God has placed on your heart to sow a seed, please sow a seed. Whatever God has called you to do. And it's not just about monetary. It's about the gifting that God has given you. We want your gift to be enlightening to the kingdom. Don't allow your gift to go to the grave. Allow your gift to shine and help build the kingdom. Be it here, harvest, wherever you go and get your ministry. Please allow your gift to flourish. Amen. And I'm going to close on this last one. And it goes back to what we were just talking about words. The power of words and counsel. Words should be life-giving and uplifting, not destructive or deceiving. Family, let your words be uplifting and giving. Let it fill the heart of people to make them be better. Amen. We love you here at Harvest. On behalf of Dr. Williams and First Lady and the Harvest family, we say good night. Hope to see you Sunday, 10:30 here at Harvest, or even Saturday, because Pastor Bruce is having a class here on Saturday. Please come be a part.
Plug it.
Go ahead, brother.
they talk about the last, of the last day, we talk about the last day. The book explains the atmosphere that you're living in right now.
Matter of fact, Pastor, come over here. Come right here. You can say it right into the camera so it can be broadcast.
The class is about the last day survivor's guide with Rick Renner. And he breaks down 1 Peter chapter 3, where it's called the perilous time of how that men will be lower than themselves, anyhow. He breaks all those things down to explain and to show you how that you're living in those times now. Now he's talking about the last days, it doesn't mean that the world's gonna end. He's talking about the last days before Christ returns. Because, okay, let's not just very carefully. It says that he's gonna come back on the third day. That's a prophetic word, right? We get our counsel from the resurrection. Our Hebrew counsel comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our day one of our calendar that we look at now today, right? If you go back on the third day, there's 1,000 years of one day unto the Lord. Then how many days is it?
We're going to our third day.
Yes, we into our third day. A thousand years of one day unto God, right? So it's 2025. So it's two days and 25 seconds minutes. But we're into the third day now. That's why you see all this chaos and calamity in every sphere, in the church, in schools, in government, all over, like never before. Everybody's trying to find out what's going on. Well, God already prophesied, already told us what's going to go on. And you have to understand, we can't be fearful during this time. We have to be that. See, we are the royal priesthood, a holy nation. Peculiar people, weak people. We don't speak what the world speaks. We speak prophetically and gracefully and divinely when we talk about God. But you have to know, like the question, how do you talk to somebody? When they talk to somebody? Okay. We're on phone. That's what we read all the same. But I'm telling you, come out one time to the class. It's 11 o'clock on Saturday. Come out one time to the class and look, we don't mind backing it up a little bit to understand some things about how that men are heady, high-minded, lovers of themselves, more than lovers of God, have a form of godliness but deny the power. We in that right now. They have a form of godliness but deny the power. That's powerful right there. They act like, don't get me started.
All right, family. So come be a part of what Pastor Bruce is doing, the last day of Survivor's Guide. So please, Saturdays, 11 o'clock, come be here at Harvest. Sundays, service starts at 10:30. Come be a part of what we're doing. Wednesdays, we got veteran service. We got women of war. We got so many things. And there's a gift on you that we want you to be a part of.
Because God gives
each and every one of us
a
gift. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a good night.
I'm not here to preach. Oh. I snuck in. I snuck in.